90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
Hello, 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 and welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM for Beats and Eats. We meet every Thursday from 1 to 2, and sometimes we have guests in store, which I do have today. I can't wait to share who is with me in store today. And sometimes we talk about food. Sometimes, all the times I play dope beats. So that's kind of what we have going on today. However, I kind of want to get into what was going on with the weather the other day. Can I just say that I'm happy to see no snow on the mountain in Burnaby? I'm thrilled for it. I am in the new Westminster streets and the snow kind of disappeared. It feels like a lifetime ago, but definitely the last couple of days I haven't really seen much snow, and I'm very happy about that. However, I will say that the weather is not weathering, you know, enough for me. It is not as warm as I would personally like it to be. And I am hoping for the weather to kind of warm up slightly. Even though that might take a hot minute for that to happen, I do have a recipe that I want to start the show off with that might get you feeling in that tropical vibes. This recipe is perfect for the heat, but it's also perfect for cold and wintry / spring days. So the thing that I love about this recipe is the fact that it's super, super easy to make. The instructions are easy. You don't need a lot of ingredients. There's really one main ingredient and a bunch of spices, as you done know that I love to include. And it's great for the vegans. So, and for those who like to eat meat, it's a great side for dishes, meat dishes as well. So what is the recipe, you ask? It is jerk cauliflower bites. That's right, cauliflower made with a Jamaican jerk seasoning. So let's start off with the supplies that you'll need. First, you'll need, depending on how large the cauliflower that you're going to be utilizing, I recommend having at least 2 baking trays prepared already. Using parchment paper is super, super helpful, especially for cleanup. You just need a large mixing bowl and a cutting board. And here are the ingredients. So, as I mentioned, super, super easy. You just need 1 head of cauliflower. You are going to utilize 2 tablespoons of jerk sauce. So if you've been listening to Beats and Eats, I think when I launched this show under this name, I did share a jerk sauce marinade recipe. And I think the week after I talked about the dry jerk rub. So if you remember that recipe, you can basically use 2 tablespoons of your homemade jerk sauce marinade. If not, there are plenty of jerk sauces that you can purchase on the market in many, many grocery stores, even in the Lower Mainland. So you're going to be cool with that. The next ingredient that you'll need is olive oil. So in this particular recipe, I recommend 2 tablespoons of that. Then you're going to have some thyme. So thyme is a herb that is used in a lot of Jamaican recipes. I like to flop between using fresh herbs or dried. And in this case, I think I used dried in this one. And then I had half a teaspoon of nutmeg. I had a half a teaspoon of allspice. And I had a half a teaspoon of pepper. And also, yes, and a half a teaspoon of salt. It's kind of like salt and pepper to taste. So here is what you need to do. And let me tell you guys, I'm going to run through this so quickly because it's not much to do. First thing is to preheat your oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit. And then you're going to cut your cauliflower into bite-sized pieces, also called florets. And I recommend that you have plenty of flat edges. Like, basically, I like to just slice the cauliflower floret in half so that you can place your pieces like flat facing down, and then that just makes it easy for your florets to crisp up and get really nice and brown and golden. And the reason why I recommend having two trays available is that you want to make sure that you have enough space in between the pieces, so you might have a little bit of overflow and then you'll just already have your second tray already ready for you. Your trays should be lined with parchment paper because it does make for easy cleanup. And so have your trays kind of already prepped. You cut up your cauliflower, you put them in a bowl, and then basically you're just kind of like sprinkling and mixing all of the ingredients that I mentioned to coat all the cauliflower pieces. Now you're just going to lay it out, making sure that it has some really good spacing in between. And you are going to bake it in your oven for 25 to 35 minutes. I do recommend flipping halfway so both sides have some brownness. And then once they're looking golden and all the things, you're good to go. When I mentioned the timing of that 25 to 35 minutes, just be aware that this is kind of a guide and to really check to see what the coloration looks like. And the reason why I say that is that not every oven works the same. Some ovens, especially if you are using a gas, an oven that's powered through gas or an oven that is electric, sometimes the heating temperatures are a little bit different. So I always like to kind of like pay attention. Don't leave the parameters. Make sure that you are looking at what your pieces are looking like. And then once they are looking as golden as can be, take those babies out, let it cool for a hot minute, and then you can put it in your serving tray, or again, if you are going to be adding it to an already prepared meal as like a side, you can kind of like start serving that out. So one of the beauties about this recipe is, number one, it's super tasty by itself, but also it is great with a dipping sauce. So I like to make it sometimes with a Jamaican jerk aioli. Sometimes I like to have a maple Jamaican jerk sauce. And I've also had it with a garlic mayo, which was super, super tasty. And if you do listen to this show on a regular, I might just be sharing one of these dip recipes next week. So I hope that just by hearing the recipe, I hope that already brought some heat to your aura, because it did for me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a couple of tracks that are going to give you a bit of a tropical vibe. Hopefully it can raise our vibration so that we call on spring warm weather to see us real, real soon.
Thank you.
Hello, 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 and I'm back. I hope those two tracks have you either dreaming of the tropics, feeling that you're there. I hope it brought some heat to your world. Let's go through some of the songs that we did here. Both of the tracks are from UK artists. So the first track that we heard is from UK group Creation Rebel with Crown Hill Road. And then the second artist that we heard from the UK, her name is Holly Cook with Full Moon Baby. So we already went through a recipe and we heard some tracks, but I have some really fun things to share on the show today. First up, I just want to share a contest that we have going on where listeners can win 2 free tickets to the Vagina Monologues Vancouver show at Waterfront Theatre on March 24th, and it is for a 5 p.m. show. If you haven't heard about the Vagina Monologues, here are the deets. So this is a play that was written in 1996 by Eve Ensler, who now goes by V. And this play was written to explore consensual and non-consensual sexual experiences. They talk about body image, genital mutilation, direct and indirect encounters with sexual reproduction, vaginal care, menstruation, prostitution, and several other topics through the eyes of women from various ages, races, sexualities, and other differences. So basically, think of like all the stories that you could think of that pertain to your vagina. you may see a story about that, a monologue about that in this piece. And in Vancouver specifically, this show is being brought to us by Birkin Productions. They were founded by, or they are founded by, Anna and David Zurita. So they are a married couple. And their whole main, purpose is driven by the desire to bring powerful, meaningful theater to Latin and bilingual communities in Vancouver. So I plan to be there. I hope you get the opportunity to win these tickets. So let me tell you how you can enter. Just three things. Super, super simple. First, follow at Brickin Productions on Instagram. And that's at BRIKENPRODUCTIONS. And then just send them a DM and let them know that you heard about this show on CGSF 90.1 FM. And then the last thing, just share their latest post. That's pretty much it. The contest actually ends tomorrow, Friday, March 13th at 4 p.m. PST. And then winners will be announced shortly thereafter. So I will be putting all the ways to enter in the show notes today. So don't stress if you are driving in the streets and weren't able to write this down. Now, I'm going to switch to the other great news that I have today. I have a guest with me on air. As you know, I love having visitors come and join me on air. And today I have Bukola with me. Bukola is a Vancouver-based Nigerian-Canadian musician who blends R&B, soul, and jazz. Known for her song Fight For Me, featured in Netflix's Ginny and Georgia, she released her debut album, The Confessions of an Antisocial Butterfly, in January of 2025. So, Bukola, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored. I was telling you earlier, I love your voice so much. You have the most calming, just warm voice, and I love listening to you, so this is such a treat.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I have heard it before, so thank you. I'm happy to be on radio because of it. You got to use your talents, as we are going to talk about your talent. I have listened to the EP, love the things, and don't worry guys, we're going to be playing some music off of the EP today. But the first things first is I'd love for listeners to get to know you a bit better. And if you could start off by just sharing a bit about your background and journey into music.
Yeah, for sure. So I think I fell in love with writing first and foremost. I was the kid that was always writing stories. Like during elementary school, kids would go outside to play and I would just stay at the computer and just write and write and write. And so, yeah, I just always loved storytelling, loved stories. And then when I was 9 years old, I came across this video of Willow Smith for Whip My Hair.
Oh, Whip My Hair, I remember that.
Yeah, that changed my life. Like, just seeing someone who looked like me, who was so confident and looked like she was just having so much fun, I was just so drawn to that. And so I knew from that moment that that was what I wanted to do with my life.
I love that.
Yeah, and then just been performing and writing and playing guitar ever since. I bought a guitar when I was 12 from Toys R Us.
Oh my gosh, Toys R Us.
Shout out to Toys R Us.
Big up to Toys R Us.
Big up to Toys R Us. That was what I could afford at the time. And I just taught myself how to play off of YouTube. And I brought my guitar around everywhere that I went. I've since come a long way from that.
And can we also bring up YouTube University and all the things?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Shout out to YouTube University. I feel like, honestly, one of the greatest things about having the internet and the democratization of information through media is just that you're able to do things on your own pace. And if you don't have the means to afford, traditional lessons,
you're not out of luck.
Yeah, it's not over for you.
No, it isn't. It isn't at all. And for those who are not in studio with us, Bukola came today with a guitar. So curious about your journey playing that instrument. And also, is that the only instrument that you play?
Yeah, I wish I could sit here and say, oh, I play piano.
I used to back in the day, personally.
Oh, that's so special.
Yeah, I used to for a long time.
Wow.
I did, yeah. It is quite the discipline, but I've yeah. Can I just say, I always wished I could play the guitar.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. It is a special instrument.
It is.
And it's not too late.
It isn't too late. You know what I love about the guitar is that you can take her or him, whatever you connect with and call, all over the place with you.
Yes.
Right? And you can't just do that with a piano.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I love folks that play instruments that they can carry along.
It's a portable piece of music, which is nice.
Yes. So how is your connection with the guitar right now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know it's just a journey also with singing, I'm sure, but how do you feel with the guitar now?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love it so much. It's like my safe haven.
Aww.
I remember I had like a beginning life crisis when I was like 10, and I'd been recording songs into my sister's Nokia because I didn't have a phone at the time.
Okay, can I just tell you, bringing back all of the nostalgia? Okay, Nokia.
Nokia. Oh my goodness. Shout out to those who remember. Yeah, and so I just remember listening back to my songs and I was like, how can I be a real musician if there's no music behind these songs? Like, if it's just a cappella, that's not how the songs on the radio sound. So I went to school the next day and just asked everybody what instrument that they played because I wanted to be different.
Yeah.
And everyone said piano. So I was like, okay, great, I'm learning the guitar. But in hindsight, like, everyone plays the guitar. Like, it's not, you know, a unique instrument by any means. But it was definitely a way for me to realize my songs and just to have, just give them more depth. And then in high school, I did jazz band, which was so special. And I think I fell in love with the guitar even more and discovered guitarists like Jimi Hendrix and B.B. King and Wes Montgomery. And then just learned so much about crafting chord progressions and harmonies and melodies. And that really impacted the way that I play guitar. So, yeah, I think guitar is just a journey that keeps on going. I'm always trying to get better, but yeah, if you ever come to a show, I'm always playing the guitar.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Now I want to switch to chat about your latest debut album, The Confessions of an Antisocial Butterfly. Yeah. I personally enjoy it. It's so lovely. I am curious as to your thoughts on the project and like, how did it go for you to put this all together?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I had initially put out an EP when I was 19. And that was a huge learning experience for me. It was so much fun and was doing things for the first time. And I had a lot of support with me, just in terms of like a team and just like people around me. And then I think I just kind of realized that I needed to take a step back and figure things out for myself and learn things for myself and have my own voice come through. Because I think it's great to have a lot of support, but then I think there just runs the risk of there being so many cooks in the kitchen that you're just like,
clock it.
Where is my voice in all of this? So yeah, this release is really special to me because I stepped away from all of the support that I had and the people that I was around and was really adamant on trying to figure it out on my own. And so it was scary. I didn't know if I could do it without the support of the people that had been with me. But yeah, it was, there's a lot of firsts, a lot of negotiating, a lot of learning the business. I wrote a whole business proposal to my parents.
Oh, wow.
Because I recorded the EP in LA for 3 weeks, and I'm currently a student in university, and I have Nigerian parents, so they're like, what are you talking about? Like, excuse me? You want to go to LA during school? So I wrote a whole business, like, proposal plan and gave it to both of my parents and just, like, was very creative and adamant that this was something that needed to happen and figured out, you know, how to fund it and all that jazz. So yeah, I'm really proud of it because I think it just marks just a time in my life where I really took ownership of, you know, my career and I learned so many things, and I can't wait to continue to apply the things that I've learned to future projects as well.
I love to hear that. And can I just pat you on the back for coming prepared to your parents?
Thank you.
I get it. I was raised by Caribbean parents. Yeah. They're very headstrong in their ways. It's not easy. Yeah. Sometimes we have to seek support in our adulthood for our journey.
Oh, so real.
But you did something that I feel most parents, regardless, couldn't turn, like they couldn't say anything when you come to them so prepared in that way. You know what I mean? So pat yourself on the back for that.
Thank you.
Okay, strategy. And I'm curious, like, do you have any favorites off of this EP?
Ooh, that's a good question. I love all of the songs, but I think one song that I really, really, really enjoy playing live has been Taste of Freedom.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it just has such a fun and empowering message. And my mom and my siblings are on it as well in the backgrounds. I recorded them chanting for a certain part, and then we had some live horns, which was nice. And then I'm really inspired by Corinne Bailey Rae. I think she's one of the most incredible artists ever, and her song "Put Your Records On" is something that's always on rotation for me. So I really pulled from that song, and there's bits of that in there too. So yeah,
I love it. Well, it's so funny because I am going to be taking a bit of a break just to play some tracks off of the EP, and the second song that we're going to be here is "Taste of Freedom."